Grab your Bibles, please. The book of 1 John, chapter 4. 1 John, chapter 4. We continue our study on what is a Christian? And what's that look like? That now that I've accepted Christ as my Savior, what kind of impact does that have on my life? So we're going to pick things up here. And starting at verse 7, we're going to be 7 down to the end of the chapter. And in this, that John gives us three areas that once we get the idea that I am loved, once I get that concept into my life, that I start living it out, there's three proofs of that, that God has gotten a hold on my life. I didn't mention last week that we'd turn around and we'd get the sermons online. And so that was my project for the week. So if you actually go to StocktonSpringsChurch.com, the whole series is on there. And so go ahead, you can pull up there, you can listen to it online on your iPad or whatever tablet you have. It's all up there. You can download it if you want to listen to it later on. But John chapter 4, we're going to start reading here. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 7 down to verse 9, actually down to verse 21. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that He might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time, but we love one another. God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. And we know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in Him, in love, abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Well, may God add a blessing to his word this morning. Throughout this whole passage, you see the resounding theme of love, love, love. God has loved us. We've looked at this before. John hangs his whole epistle on the fact that you are loved by God. And you are loved more than you can comprehend. More than you can comprehend. God loves you more so than anyone else is able to love you. Because God Himself is love. And being human, our love is tainted. We falter in that love. Oftentimes our love has conditions. Right? I'll love you if. God's love has no conditions. That God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son. That He sacrificed Himself for you. And so in here, he talks about this love and pours down through. So all these things, you'll find John talking about these proofs, but he goes always go back to the love of God. He's our example. He is our motivator because He loves us. It should change our whole lives. But there's just three things I want to look at this morning. Starting at verse 7 down through 11, and then jump down to verse 21. Then in here, the first proof that if I fully understand and comprehend and live in the love that God has given me, the impact that should have on my life, the proof that I have that this shows that I understand this, is that I'm going to love other people. That in here, God is going to give me a love for the people around me. And not just for the lovely people. Right? And there's just people that we just think are just so lovable. Right? There's just people that we just light up and we glow over. And we're like, oh, how wonderful this person is. I look forward to seeing this person, of hearing this person. Right? They're an easy person for me to love. But the love of God was shown in us while we were yet sinners. That one of the proofs that God's love is in me is that I love people around me who are unlovely. Those people who naturally would just bug the snot out of me. You ever had those, right? You know, there are people who have treated us wrongly. There are people who have hurt us. But Lord, help me to love them. Sometimes there's people in our lives that just bug us. Right? You know what I'm talking about. That they don't have to even do anything. Right? You just hear their name and all of a sudden the little hairs on the back of your head start standing up and you're just like... Right? Oh, maybe you're just a better person than me, because maybe you don't have that. But there's some people that I just hear their name and I get riled up. But Lord, help me love them. And that love is based on His love towards us. Look at verse 11. It says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love what? One another." Right? Think about this. And I want you to walk you through this logic of how this works, because when we look at everything in comparison of God's love towards me, now you may think I'm wonderful. I mean, last week we came home with some cards, and some of you really think that we're nice people. You know? Give it a little time. You guys will figure it out. Right? You know, if you could read my thoughts and look into my heart, you'd realize I'm a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Well, don't laugh, because you know what? If I could look into your heart, you know, I remember when I was younger, you know, and you know, all the superheroes that's out there. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if you could read people's minds? Right? I thought, that would be the superpower I want. Forget flying. I want to read people's minds. I've changed my mind about that one. Right? Because I know what comes out of people's mouths. I don't want to know what's in their head. Right? There's things that we think that we never say because we've been trained. You know, this isn't polite. We don't say these things. And truly enlightened, if the holy, perfect God can love me, oh wretched sinner as I am. Right? If God can love me, then how can I not extend that love to someone else? Also, I want to take this a little bit further. So see, so God so loved, I want you to think about this. Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved," notice what it says here, not just me, but He says, God so loved what? Us. You know that person that irritates you? God loves them. That God loves them as much as He loves you. That Jesus was willing to die on the cross for that person, not just for you. Wow. if you're good enough for God, you should be good enough for me. You can say, well, that person isn't a lovely person. Okay. But God still loves them. See, the miraculous thing is that God loves us when we're unlovely. Think about it. Because sometimes we get too good for ourselves. You know? God, you're so lucky to have me on your team. Right? God, I'm such a wonderful person, Lord. It must be so easy for you to love me. Yeah, right. Right? And if I'm willing to accept the grace and the love of God in my life, then I need to accept the love and grace that God has given someone else in their life. He carries on this thought down in verse 20 as well. Because as if someone says, I love God, right? Where he asks, how many of you guys love God? I'm sure everyone would say, yeah, I love God. And it says, and hates his brother, he is a what? Oh, we can do better than that. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a what? Liar. Ooh, this is strong language. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Think about this. Especially within the family of God. That if I'm a believer, I've accepted Jesus and I've asked him to come into my what? Into my life, into my heart. That God now dwells in me. Do you believe that? And then God, if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, that God has come and Jesus now dwells in you. And through loving him, if I want to love him, guess what? I need to love him through you. That's what he's talking about here. He says, how can I love God who I've never seen if I can't love the children of God that I can see every day? And John says, you can't do it. John says, you can't do it. So often what it comes back to is I need to understand God's love more. The more I understand God's love towards me, God's love towards you, that outpouring, that proof that I got it, is that I'll love other people. The second proof that he gives us in this text, that I understand and I have accepted the love of God in my life, is that love gives sight. What do I mean by that? Verse 12 says, but if no one has seen God at any time, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. That in here, that folks, through love, that we can see God's work in our lives. We can see God working in other people's lives. God opens our eyes that we may see him. Because sometimes what happens is we get so blinded, and we get so opinionated and so biased in people, we look at them and we see the bad and not the good. You ever done that? We get so distorted. Growing up, my mom got divorced and remarried a guy, and he self-admitted he didn't like kids, but he married a woman who had four. And so we had a rough patch adjusting to this new family that we had. And my stepfather was a very harsh man. Later on, we worked things all out later on in life. But he said he never had a dad. His dad had abandoned him. And he said he didn't know how to be a dad. And in that, I don't think he learned how to love. So he was very harsh with us kids. And I was in third grade, so I was probably about 8 years old. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to throw out an olive branch. Because we had been at odds for a couple of years, and the strife was just horrible in the home. And I figured, okay, I'll do a good deed. And I turned around, and this is back, in the 70s. So things were a little bit different. And my stepfather smoked, and we had ashtrays all throughout the home. Right? Remember back in the days when there were ashtrays in everyone's home? Remember how things have changed. Remember in school, we made ashtrays. Right? That was our craft project. We brought home ashtrays. And so I went around and collected all the ashtrays around the home. And I figured, well, okay, I'm going to show him and I'm going to wash them. So I filled the sink up with big soapy water. And I threw every ashtray in the house, gathered them all together, put them in there. And I was like, I'm going to show him, you know, that I'm accepting him. That was my olive branch. Well, he came in for me outside, sat down in his chair and lit up, and the ashtray were gone. So he goes, that's odd. So he went to the next room to find the ashtray that was in that room. There was no ashtray. So he went around the house. All the ashtrays were gone. So he comes to me and goes, have you seen the ashtrays? I said, I took them. And he kind of went off because he's like, oh, you stole my ashtrays. Oh, no. Well, he was so in the zone, expecting bad from me, that he couldn't see that I was trying to do good. And I get grounded. Right? And I'm not saying this because he was bad and I'm good. But what happens without the lack of love, we get blinded and we see the bad and not the good. When we understand the love of God in our lives, that we see things differently now. We see God in us and God in you, and we see Him working in the circumstances around us. Love changes us. Love gives us an insight. I picked this picture because C.S. Lewis, I know if you're familiar with C.S. Lewis, and I'm not a guy who quotes other people a lot. If you ever get a chance, C.S. Lewis, he's sort of an English philosopher, a Christian guy, and he wrote this devotion, he's called Meditations from the Tool Shed. If you ever get a chance, read the whole thing. But he talks about going into his shed and looking out through, and the light, a beam of light was shining out through a crack in the wall. And as he stood on the outside looking at the shaft of light, he saw the flecks of dust. He saw it glimmering and shining. And he looked at it and said, oh, how wonderful that is, how that came into the darkness. He goes, but then he goes over and walks into that beam of light and turns around and looks at it and through it. He goes, as he got in line with that beam of light, he looked out through that crack and he saw the daylight and saw the trees and saw the birds and saw the sun. He goes, he no longer saw the light because he was in the light. But through that, he no longer saw the darkness of the shed, but he saw this wonderful world that was all out there. And I'm a pretty visual person, and so for me, this just kind of clicks. When I am in the love of God, that, folks, our vision changes, and now we see things clearly and different. We see Him working around us. We see Him working in people's lives. We see that I'm loved. I'm not forgotten. I'm not abandoned. I see God all around me because I've lined myself up with His love. And for me, when we go through this passage here and start looking at His love for me, and He abides in me, and God is in you, and we all these things, what happens is we come into this harmony with His love, and our vision now is different. We see Him working in ways we didn't see before. We see people different than we have seen before. So the amazing thing has happened in my life. Because I'm sure, like you, I've had people who have really hurt me over the years. I've had people who do really bad things to me in my lifetime. And when I was younger, I harbored a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness against people. And I carried that around for a long time. When I was younger, I was a very bitter, angry man. And then, along the way, the idea of God's love and God's forgiveness, and that need to look at people differently, to offer forgiveness for other people. And what's happened in my life, and I pray this for you, is all of a sudden that anger and that bitterness and that resentment gives way, where I started to feel sorry for people. That some of the people who have hurt me, the people who have done wrong against me, and all of a sudden now, Lord has replaced that anger with a compassion, with a point where I feel sorry for them. One of the people, you know, I've shared with you before, was my father. My father, as my parents were divorced, walked away from us kids. And I had an anger and a bitterness for so many years. But I know God loved my father. I know God died for him. And what happened was the Lord washed over me, took away the anger. And I got to a point where I felt sorry for this guy. That my father never got to know any of his kids. And we turned out pretty good. That he, because of what his choices were, never got to know the wonderful grandkids that he has had. Over the years, I tried to talk to him and try to work things all out. And he couldn't let go of the past. He had his own issues. And I looked at a man who, because he wasn't willing to let go, he was a sorry man. What happened? He's the same guy, but my perception changed. I didn't see him through the eyes that I had before, but because of the love and forgiveness of God, my vision changed. Does that make sense? And as we interact with one another, if we have that bitterness, if we have that anger, all these things, ask the Lord, Lord, bring me in light of your love. Help me see things in light of you. Help me see them as you see them, Lord. Lord, help me understand your love. All right? So the proof that we understand God's love, or God's love is having a perfect work in our life, is first of all, we'll love other people. The second one, that we'll turn around and we'll see things differently. How's our vision? How's our perspective? The last point here, I want to look at verse 7. Love gives us courage. When we understand God's love and what it did for us and what it means for us, it will give us a God-given courage and a boldness we never had before. Verse 17, 1 John 4, says, love, having been perfected among us, is this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here's a wonderful thing, if you understand. Because I know he loved me, I know God will not abandon me. Oftentimes as Christians we struggle in the struggles of life, and in here we feel like we're all alone. Have you ever felt, God, where are you? Have you ever felt that? Maybe what you're going through, the waves seem so strong that it feels like your life is going to capsize, and maybe you feel like it's going to sink. Rest assured, the God who loves you, the God who died for you, the God who has kept you this far has not abandoned you. Now I understand that feeling of abandonment, but my heart needs to follow my head, where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That God, even though I don't see you there, you are. See, because God's love has its perfect way in our lives. And as He does that, He will keep us. Love does not abandon. And in here, when we have a perfect understanding of God's love, look at what it says here in verse 17, that in here, I don't need to fear judgment. I don't have to fear the wrath of God because I know Jesus paid for it all. No matter what I have done, no matter what I am going to do, Jesus' love on the cross shed His blood for everything that you ever did and ever will do. Now, when I stand before the throne of God, His arms will be open wide, and He'll say, "Welcome home." That's perfect love. And in there, there comes a security, there comes a boldness when I can rest in His love. When I know whatever I'm going through, God is there with me. You know, I picked this picture here because there's security being in the Lord's hands. You know, you ever get into a parking lot with a little kid? And there's a lot of dangers. Cars are coming in and out, carts all over the place. People don't pay attention. And I do what just about every parent will do, because the kid gets out of the car, and what do you say? Hold my hand. Hold my hand. And as I'm going through the parking lot, I'm paying attention. You know, I'll go through with the little kid, and they're like, la, 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 la. You know, skipping around, playing all this thing. You know, and just like, come on. Right? You're going on through. But she's safe and secure because she is in my hands. How many times in scary situations, my daughter is dead. Dad, hold my hand. Because she knows I love her. And I won't let anything happen to her. Right? Folks, if we can understand and get our head wrapped around the love of God towards us, realizing that that perfect love has a hold of us, no matter what we're going through, He is greater than all those things. And His love takes us, puts His arms around us, and protects us in the midst of the storm. Do you understand His love? His love will not forsake. His love will not abandon us. And in this we have boldness and a confidence in life. And maybe you're here and you're like, Lord, I don't know where you are. Read about His love. Understand His love. You keep coming back to it time and again and again and again. Because no matter what you do, His love doesn't change. Isn't that an amazing thing? Lord, give me a security. Because I rested in Your love. Lord, give me peace in the midst of the storm. Because I'm in the middle of Your love. The world's blasting messages and voices all around us. Don't listen to them. Listen to the love of the Father. In our lives, as John is exploring. See, I think sometimes the problem isn't the situation, it's where's my heart and where's my head? Lord, help me to understand Your love. Lord, help me focus upon Your love for me. And that will change us. That will transform us in all these areas. And as I said, in three areas that John has laid out here, one is our love for one another. That He will change how I think about you and you think about me. I'm convinced that most churches, the problems that we have aren't the doctrinal issues, aren't the structural issues. Most of it comes down to is that we've stopped loving. It's loving issues. Lord, if I understand Your love and get a hold of Your love, it's going to affect how I love people around me. Second thing, it's going to change our vision. We're going to see things differently. We're going to see God in places and in things we never saw Him before. We're going to see Him in the midst of our struggles. We're going to see the blessings along the way. It will change how we see. And the last thing, it will give us boldness and the confidence to rest in His love. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, bask us in Your love. Help us to understand Your love. Help us to focus upon Your love for us. And in this, have a perfect way in every other area in our life. Lord, help me to love You more. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.